success.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It is Saturday, February 23rd. This is America's Heroes Group. We speak truth to power by engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming the lives of veterans, active and retired, along with their family members through information, resources, and referrals. And we have a special show today. And I'm the host, of course, Cliff Kelly, and we'll be joined by attorney Ernesto Borges a little later in the show. But right now, America's Heroes Group is sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. And Attorney Seidman is on the America's Heroes Group Advisory Board. And we are pleased to have him on our live line today. Our comments, our session is Legally Speaking. And we are so proud to have him on our board, and he is with us this afternoon. Consular, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I am doing well. And thank you.
I look forward to getting to the studio again soon. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we look forward to you getting this. This is the second most best, okay?
But we
look forward to having you come in again. Listen, now, what should people be concerned about? You know, your firm does such a great job, and we always mention the fact that folks have all kinds of problems and so forth, and veterans particularly. Tell us, in this session of Legally Speaking, Consular, what do people need to be concerned about the most?
Well, it seems to me that veterans, like everybody else, unfortunately, have a lot to worry about nowadays, just because the nature of what goes on outside and at any time in any place. And, of course, with regard to veterans, of course, depending on the age of the veteran, we've seen, when I was on about a year ago with the Legionella situation in the Quincy home, and at that point the caps on recovery were such that they were small. Over the last year, there was legislation put into effect that raised those caps substantially for people in the Quincy homes, specifically who were exposed to Legionella disease. And actually, we see a lot of different situations in nursing homes and in these types of settings, assisted care living. Very similar to what happened in Quincy. For instance, in McHenry this year, there was an outbreak of Legionella disease that killed one individual, and we're representing that family of that individual. Mm-hmm. So in a nursing home setting or assisted care setting, we see a lot of situations in which the patients or the people being cared for, unfortunately, are exposed to negligence. And that's one thing that people have to look out for. For those veterans that are now working in a situation, there's always the workers' compensation injuries, the work injuries, and those occur with individuals who are in a work setting and get hurt. And when somebody does in Illinois, they're entitled to three basic things. One, medical bills paid. The second is two-thirds of their wages tax-free. And finally, once they're back to work, they're entitled to a lump sum settlement or award, depending on the degree of disability they have. And, of course, that is another thing you have to worry about. When someone steps out into the street, they could be hit by a car. So we have, or if they're driving a car, there are automobile accidents that we see a lot of. Then you have medical negligence cases against physicians with veterans who are going to the VA facilities. We have seen, I will say, very happily over the course of a period of time, some, I think, better care and treatment, or better oversight, I should say, better oversight at the facilities, at the VA facilities. But there are those times when things just go horribly wrong, and there are certain claims that need to be filed within certain time periods in order to preserves people's right to pursue a medical negligence claim in a veteran's home or a veteran's institution, a hospital, such as the VA hospitals. Right. So those are generally the things that we see. Veterans have to worry about as much as everybody else, sometimes more in a lot of different areas.
You know, that's so interesting because when you think about the things, Consular, you hear something, but if you are a veteran, the situation can be different, correct?
It can be. For instance, for a veteran who is going to get treatment at the VA facilities, whether it be Hines or the north side facility, there are specific rules that apply. It's not a jury trial per se. We are in front of a federal judge. There are certain what we call Federal Tort Claims Act cases, which have to be brought within a certain administrative time period and format. And it is a different type of system than it is for those people injured in an auto accident. And one of your guests I know in the past has or will be Judge Evans, who is the chief judge at the Circuit Court of Cook County. We see a certain type of procedure, jury trials and the like, but for a VA Veterans Administration claim, those are done in federal court, and of course those federal court cases are subject to non-jury trials, just bench trials, and there are certain administrative claims that you must do in order to pursue those. So veterans are exposed to different type of legal proceedings in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. And Consular, Attorney Steinman, a lot of people are unaware of that, what you just said.
Yes, I would say most people are unaware
of
it.
Exactly.
And of course, those people that go in to get treated and have an untoward result, sort of something doesn't work out real well, and it might be the subject of negligence, a lot of people don't know about the Administrative Federal Tort Claims Act. That's a specific act that you must follow the procedures of, or else you will trample on your rights or just destroy your rights. Mm-hmm. So most people are unaware of that. Just as most people in the federal court system with injuries, our Postal Service employees, there are certain rules that apply to them versus certain rules that apply to Illinois state workers. So it's the old story, different strokes for different folks type of stuff. The veterans have a different standard many times.
You know, and I want you, Consular, to repeat that again, because I know a lot of people, I've mentioned it to some folks, and, you know, they have no idea. In fact, they look at you like, yeah, what are you talking about? Which is why we're so pleased that you are on our advisory board. But VA claims are not done in a normal way, correct?
They are not. It starts off with a claim. Mm-hmm. It's a claim form that goes to the department, the Veterans Department, as well as the Attorney General of the United States of America. There are claim forms that need to be filled out. You have to be very specific with those claim forms. In fact, you have to put down all the things that you're alleging, and specifically, you have to put down the money amount of damages that you think that you're going to be asking for right at that claim form. Now, it goes through an administrative kind of situation. They take a look at that, and then if they deny it, then you have 2 years in which to file the lawsuit from their denial. The claim itself for alleged malpractice in a veterans facility mm-hmm. must be brought within 2 years of the alleged malpractice. So mm-hmm. you have that time limit staring you in the face. And, of course, you know, the earlier that somebody is exposed to this type of thing and they know about their rights, you obviously want to sort of review them and mm-hmm. go and find out what happened. Mm-hmm. Similar in a VA, in a veterans facility, the same type of situation. So if you're in an assisted care facility that's a federally funded facility, you have to file those same Federal Tort Claims Act rules that we just talked about, mm-hmm. the forms, the whole thing, the denial. Once you file the lawsuit then goes, after the denial, goes to a federal judge. The fee structure is different for veterans in those situations. It's 25% versus the average third in a normal case. So there's a lesser attorney fee that is given, mm-hmm. and that's a protection to the veteran as well. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Quincy Homes, that was a state of Illinois-funded veterans facility. So that had different rules, for instance, if it was, let's say, a federally funded assisted care living facility. And that's where we got into these caps on the lawsuit damages. It used to be $100,000 for the state of Illinois, but for the people at the Quincy facility, they raised that to $2 million. Now in the state of Illinois, in the federal system, there is no cap. So if you could prove your case, mm-hmm. You could, and that's an advantage to the veteran. Of course, we all hope nobody gets malpracticed, it happens, yes.
And, Consul, you also mentioned, I think, that the VA claims are done in the federal court and their bench trial?
They are. They're done in front of the federal judges.
Uh-huh.
There are no juries in a situation like that. That goes to federally funded institutions as well, medical places. There are certain medical facilities that nobody really knows about, but doesn't know they're federally funded. But those institutions also are subject to the Federal Tort Claims Act. They go to a federal judge, and the judge hears them. The judge decides them after hearing the evidence. The U.S. attorney, the assistant U.S. attorneys of each district, are the ones that defend the United States in those cases. So it is a different system than our jury system that we see at the Daly Center.
Well, that's interesting, Consular. So when you represent somebody in that, you're before a federal judge, it's a bench trial, and the state is protected by the assistant attorney general?
Correct. The United States is protected by the assistant United States Attorney General.
Right,
the same rules apply. We always have to have the same expert witnesses. All of those things are almost identical in nature. But the actual decision is made by not a jury but by a judge. And usually what we've seen are very moderated, good decisions from the federal courts on these subjects, on these types of cases.
Well, that is really, really interesting. And, you know, Attorney Seidman, you've got a great firm and so forth, but can you give us any idea as to how many people know that?
As far as know the lawyer group?
No. As far as they know the system, how it works under these circumstances.
Oh, I think if you try to do it yourself, hardly anybody does, unfortunately.
Exactly. I know it. Yeah.
Certainly the government doesn't make it easy. It's not their job to make it easy for the person that has an injury. And unfortunately, I would say very few people actually know about it. And if they did, they're really well-versed. It takes lawyers a long time to find out and to figure it out, let alone just the, person who's in the facility who something terrible might happen to.
Well, you just answered my next question, Consul. I was going to ask you, how many lawyers do get involved in these kind of cases? Everybody has a specialty, but...
Everybody has a concentration. Frankly, I think most negligence lawyers, medical malpractice lawyers, so to speak, would know something about it. But I would say a lesser group really know the specifics, and which is why the choice of attorney is always important when you're making a choice. It's sort of a nuanced type of thing. And you do need to have some expertise in it in order to do it, because you could mess it up. We never like to admit, but, some lawyers, for instance, some lawyers file lawsuits at the Circuit Court of Cook County or, wherever for a VA case. And of course, that's not the proper way to do it. It's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And of course, that affects very adversely the individuals, will trample their rights. It's just one of those things.
We've been so pleased to have Attorney Steve Seidman with us, America's Heroes Group. He's on the America's Heroes Group Advisory Board, and he's giving a lot of information which I'm sure a lot of people have absolutely no idea about. And we are very thankful and happy that you are on every month with America's Heroes Group sponsoring Legally Speaking, and that just makes so much sense, because I'm sure, Steve, what you're saying, people have absolutely no idea about, because very few folks who know that this is the way, you go to the federal court and have decided by a judge. Most people,
most people, just assume these cases are heard just like every other case. It's
right.
Not true.
Like you say, filing at the Daily Center or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Well, this is great. What else do you need to tell us before we let you go?
Well, I think everybody, you see a lot of advertisements on the media now and billboards and everything else, but it's important to realize that when something happens, no matter what it is, whether it's an automobile situation or you're a pedestrian, you get hurt or you're working, that you get a professional who knows what they're doing. That's the most important thing you can do, and you want to definitely act on your rights. And if you have questions, no problem to ever call somebody such as me, just to ask the questions and vet your concerns, so to speak,
and
to go through them.
Right. If you're a veteran, Steve, that could be any kind of problem, right?
Any kind of problem.
See, that's what folks won't understand. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the military or anything. If you are a veteran, there's a certain situation that is going to help you if you know how to get the right lawyer.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this, that a lot of people, and I think it's a good thing, it's a good quality about certain people that they don't want to, they're shy to pursue their rights.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're shy to ask questions.
Right.
And they're shy to, like, let's say something happens to a loved one at a facility. They're shy to talk about it. The most important thing is you can't be shy about it. You got to ask questions. You got to figure out what happened, and you got to pursue your rights if you have them, because that's what our system of justice allows. And with regard to a veteran, who has preserved our right to this and have preserved our right to have these type of actions brought, who more important to protect than them? The answer is nobody.
I like the way you say that. This is we have these systems there because of veterans, and that makes
they're the ones that have fought for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have jury trials, it's always interesting, because I always, and I know the judges do too as well, at the courthouse, they always start with this when they talk to the jurors. You know, you're a juror. You don't really want to be there, right, if you're a potential juror. Most people are trying to get out of it. But the point is that the very our system of justice in this country is the only system that allows a jury trial for civil cases, the only system in the world. And wow. Who preserved that? Mm-hmm. These people who fight for us, who preserve our freedom, those are the ones that have created our right to have this system. And yet, interestingly, the veterans don't have a jury trial system. They have the bench trial when it comes to the actions against the federal government. So mm-hmm. It is an interesting kind of play, but that's what it's all about.
Well, I want to thank you not only for the great work that you do. I also want to thank you, of course, for being a member of the America's Heroes Group Advisory Board, Attorney mm-hmm. Steve Seidman, Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman. And I want to make sure everybody has the number there at 20 South Clark Street at 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700. That's, in, of course, in Chicago, 60603. The toll-free number is 888-837-3275. And the office number is 312-781-1977. Steve, give us a close.
Well, it's thank you for allowing me to be on the advisory board, and thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. It really does.
Well, I certainly appreciate you helping us, and we'll be happy next time.
You are, and I'm sure all the listeners will agree, an amazing man.
Well,
amazing man.
I appreciate it.
With a great reputation. Nobody that I mentioned does not know of Cliff Kelly.
Thank you so much, Consula. That's very kind. And next time you'll be in the studio, hopefully.
I will, next month.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Consula.
Okay, have a good day.
Attorney Steve Seidman, just doing a great job for a whole lot of vets, and we just appreciate everything he does. Stay with us now. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with America's Heroes Group.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com. You can call us direct, 773-591-1690. You can get social, Facebook, or Twitter. And we are pleased to have, in continuing America's Heroes Group, one of our regular panelists, Attorney Ernesto Borges. And we were just talking to Attorney Steve Seidman, of course, getting some great information about the special situations with veterans.
Right. Good afternoon, Cliff.
And good afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Great.
That was great because a lot of things I did not know that Attorney Seidman gave us that great information. And about veterans and filing cases in the wrong court and
right.
all of that.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people certainly don't know that.
And attorneys' fees are limited to 25%.
Yeah.
Not 30. Because some of these attorneys are charging 40%.
Yeah, over the 30.
Oh, yeah, more than a third. Yeah. They can't do that with veterans.
The thing of bench trials.
Yeah, and a bench trial. Yeah. No jury trial. Yeah. So I don't know. That kind of limits it because sometimes juries get very generous, at least
true.
In Cook County.
Yeah.
If you go to some of these other counties, they're a little more conservative, but Cook County tends to award.
I think most folks are unaware of that.
Yeah.
The way this,
Yeah, good.
So one of the things we want to do, which, you are our regular panelist here, but we never get a chance to talk about, although you do this on another show, but Bill Busters.
Right, yeah, don't.
Tell us about that.
Well, Bill Busters is my law firm. I use that for advertising purposes, and but the law firm actually is called Borges and Wu. I have a partner, a minority partner, and so I have been in business for 34 years practicing.
That's over,
Never really worked for anybody. I came out of law school, Northern Illinois University, and I just want to say one of the things for veterans, because as a veteran, I had no tuition.
Which is great.
In law
you
school.
Said that before.
Yeah, I got out of law school. I went had to go to state law school, but I did. And no tuition, of course, undergrad was taken care of also after coming back from Vietnam. So and being a veteran and having the
GI
Bill.
Were you drafted?
Absolutely. In 1968, are you kidding me?
It's funny that we know.
Yeah.
As long as I've known you, and as much as we've
talked. 68, we lost 17,000, 18,000 Americans in that one year. That was the worst year in the history of Vietnam. So, I wasn't. It was on the news every night, too. So.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I was drafted, but I had I was in infantry and MLS and infantry and all that.
Right.
So, but. I came back and finished school, undergrad, and then law school. And so, for veterans out there, take advantage of that education that you can get free of charge and go to these state schools. And so it certainly helped me because I don't think I could have gone had I not had those benefits. But anyway, I came out and I formed my own law firm. And now it kind of morphed into Bill Busters. I was originally criminal defense and some other things, but decided to focus in on bankruptcy law. And so
How did you determine that?
Bankruptcy law?
Yeah.
I was doing criminal defense, and I got a little financial strait myself.
Oh, okay.
And
I
started getting letters from lawyers, and we can help you, and this and that. And I said, well, you know what? This might be a good practice to get into. And because I was tired of the criminal defense running around to every courtroom in the world, downstate, Galesburg, there, Champaign. I said, and it's more businesslike, and I can still make some money when I'm not there. Because as a criminal defense attorney, if you're not in court, you don't get paid.
Right.
So I said, this is a little more businesslike, even though I had no business experience. And, sending out letters, notifying people, going on the air, doing advertisements and so forth. And I started getting a lot of people in. And one time I even, during the 9/11, I did some commercials. A patriotic-minded commercials, I'll say, and it turned out to be great, and I ended up probably with the largest black-owned bankruptcy firm in the country. So you know, and I just hope that people will continue to serve us. But it was great. I initially advertised in the Sun Times and put my picture in there, and people said, "Hey, let me use a black attorney." And that's where we certainly need to help each other and black businesses and black owned businesses certainly. And sometime I had a lady call me today. She said, "Well, I went over to, you know, the guy who's always on television," and she said, "I used him, but I want to ask you a question." And I said, you filed with one of my...
Want to ask you a question.
But want to call me because you can reach me. I can't reach them, so let me call you. I still answered her question. I said, "Thanks for supporting black-owned businesses, ma'am." But I said, "I bet you didn't call him and talk to him, but you talked to me." But anyway, so I, you know, I've always tried to be of service to people. Even, you know, in Vietnam, I was awarded 2 Bronze Stars, and that was for serving and going and helping people who were... in trouble, a lot more trouble in life and death situations. And it kind of, you know, my dad was a physician, so he cared for people. And I remember when he used to go out and with his little black bag and see people in the middle of the night and so forth. And so it's just always been a part of me, and that's how, you know, I wanted to help in any way I could.
Did you ever decide you wanted to do that?
What?
Be a doctor, be a physician.
I did.
So.
But
you
after
your dad, because you knew I knew that. But
And my brother, of course, has been on the show.
Yeah,
did follow that.
Right.
And I went from doctor to theater to law.
Well, but you know,
yeah,
you and theater.
Yeah, that was a great passion
man,
there.
Yes, but, I've seen you actually.
Yeah,
you know,
in the bar
show,
things I've done, and did Raising in the Sun, Walter Lee Younger. Yeah,
yep,
I did.
Yep.
Did a lot of things. But you know, veterans, you know, it's, and we have cars. A big thing is with people getting booted. You know, and the city's trying to make money, and they're booting people. And so I've helped so many people whose cars have been booted and towed and impounded and so forth. And that's a big part of the business because the city's out there, red light, whether it's red light cameras or parking tickets or what have you. And we are able to help people at Bill Buster's to get cars from the impound, from the pound, city pound. Or if it's been repossessed, we can get it back the next day. So a lot of people need their cars to get to work.
Sure.
They need transportation and safety. I had a lady who was whose car was impounded because her son was driving it, her grandson, and he had some drugs in the car. The city impounded the car. I was able to get it released. Mm-hmm. And she was a lady who had to walk like 5 blocks to get to the bus stop at 5:00 in the morning to get to her job, which is way, you know, away. She'd take 3-4 buses. Mm-hmm. And so without a car, it was dangerous, first of all. It was over in the South Shore area where she lived. Dangerous to get to the bus stop. And it was cold. It was the middle of the winter. And so I was able to, and that was not through a bankruptcy, but just through a forfeiture, of the forfeiture laws and having to go in and deal with that. So we deal with a lot of things at Bill Buster's. And I'll say this. You know, if a veteran comes in with a DD-214, shows that he has a, you know, he was in the service or he or she, we will give a discount to them. And if they are really in dire straits, we can do a pro bono. You know, all attorneys are required to do some pro bono work, meaning that there's no fees charged by the attorney. So for people who are really destitute and having hard times, we certainly perform pro bono in cases from time to time. So we, you know, at the end of the year, ARDC asks you, "Did you do any pro bono work?" Yes, we did. We do that too, and we take special attention for veterans who are having problems, and many veterans are. And you know, I see more people than in my position than most attorneys because I see so many thousands and thousands in the 33 years I've practiced, thousands and thousands of people who are in trouble. And sometimes we need to be educated also, though, Cliff. So many people don't, you know, they do unreasonable things. They make $2,000 a month and they go out and have a $750 car note. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and that's over a third of your income right mm-hmm. there. Not to talk about insurance and
right.
and the gasoline you have yeah. to put in it. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down with him. I said, look, you're spending over $1,000 just on your car, and you're only making $2,000. You know, you still got to pay rent, you know,
presumably,
electricity, gas, food.
Yeah,
that,
right. yeah presumably.
Got to
yeah.
eat. So we try to counsel people also. You know, when they come into our office.
You know, that's great, yeah. Counselor, because what you're saying is that you can go to court for them mm-hmm. and take care of that, but
sure.
also you're advising them, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, how to make out a budget, live within
yeah.
your means.
Right.
If it's a car that you can't afford or something mm-hmm. you can't afford, then just let it go.
Yeah.
And get yourself, and we can get people other cars. We mm-hmm. can, you can file a Chapter 7. I can put you in another car mm-hmm. at a lower rate. I have you know, dealerships that I deal with.
So we just don't presume. Tell people, Consular, what a Chapter 7 is.
Yeah, a lot of people, and of course, my name is again Ernesto Borges of
sure.
Billbusters.
Yeah,
and so there are different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that people think about. That's the one that just discharges or
right.
wipes out
right.
Most debts. Mm-hmm. Some debts are not dischargeable. You can't wipe them out, such as student loans.
Mm-hmm.
You used to be able to wipe out student loans, mm-hmm. but President Clinton changed that. Mm-hmm. It used to be if it was student loans were 7 years old or older, you could wipe it out through a bankruptcy. You can't do that. But there are means of, and let me just say this about student loans, because a lot of people have student loans. There are ways of discharging or wiping out a student loan, even though it's typically not dischargeable. If you can prove that it's a real undue hardship, you've mm-hmm. made some effort, and that you're pretty much destitute, we can still wipe out student loans. Parking tickets typically can't wipe out in a Chapter 7. You have other things, recent IRS debts. But most debts, you know, hospital bills, credit card debt, things like that, payday loans, you mm-hmm. can discharge or wipe out in Chapter 7, which is over within about 3.5 months,
mm-hmm.
3.5, 4 months. Chapter 13 is another type of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. That's the type that helps you if you fall behind in your car payments, you might fall behind in your mortgage payments, and you need an opportunity to reorganize yourself, reorganize your debt. Mm-hmm. So that you make a monthly payment, like a consolidation, but you don't necessarily have to pay back 100% to certain creditors. So that's a Chapter 13. Of course, you have Chapter 11 also, right. which typically for big businesses
sure,
and so
sure.
forth, but individuals can file 11s.
Any of these things that you're mentioning, Consular, mm-hmm. And you are, of course, one of our regulars here on America's Heroes Group, are there any of these things that specifically help veterans?
There's no special special classification for treating a vet or rule or regulation to treat veterans any differently than anybody else. Sometimes the trustees, when you file a bankruptcy, you have to appear before what's called a 341 first meeting of creditors, and you appear before the United States trustee or panel, one of the panel members, and you will be asked questions about your bankruptcy filing and petition. You know, sometimes I see the trustees will lean a little bit. Sometimes they have a bit of discretion.
Okay.
It certainly helps that you are a veteran, but certainly there's nothing in the bankruptcy code that
you
provides
can't say,
for.
I spent a lot of money because I had PTSD.
Yes. Well, now some people do, because sometimes people come in and they have these great debts like, what did you do? You know, you have $100,000 in credit card debt. You know, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will come in and say, well, I got a gambling habit, you know, or I have a drug habit. I've mm-hmm. had people come in and say that. Or mm-hmm. now they say, well, you use this on a credit card. Well, what did you buy with this credit card? You know, I want the trustee in a Chapter 7 has a right to take your assets from you
mm-hmm.
over a certain limit. You're allowed to keep X number of dollars and so forth. But the trustee can take certain things. So they want to know, well, what did you spend that $100,000 on? Some people come and say, I spent it on drugs. I spent it on gambling. I have PTSD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to my money.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what I was wondering. If you
Yeah. So there are all kinds of scenarios that you have in bankruptcy law, and it's no joke. You know, sometimes people come in, they don't tell the truth.
Yeah,
I had a client yesterday who was locked up. He was a Polish guy and a lawyer, Polish lawyer, and a Polish descent at least. And
veteran?
No, not a veteran.
Okay. I just wondered.
But veteran or not veteran, or non-veteran, you have to tell the truth.
Yeah, I know.
You have to tell the truth, because if you don't tell the truth, bad things can happen to you. But so we do that. Then, of course, you know, in the non-bankruptcy world, you know, we handle cases in 26 in California, some of the felony cases and so forth. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we had Chief Judge Timothy Evans on here. And
sure.
They have and the other young lady, mm-hmm. and the young lady, Rochelle, not Rochelle, but the young lady that works for the Veterans Court.
Right. Yeah.
And so she was here. And mm-hmm. so there's a Veterans Court. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you get in trouble and you have to go over to 26th in California, there's what's called a diversion program. So sometimes you're charged with something, and you might be able to negotiate with the state, and so that there's a diversion process. So that if you're a veteran, you say, "Look, I'm a veteran. Instead of charging me, or instead of locking me up, or finding me guilty, let me go through Veterans Court. Let me have some." You know, they give the veterans a little more consideration, mm-hmm. and they go through the program, and then they don't have a conviction on their record, because a conviction, of course, can be very harmful.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what's called supervision, some people don't realize that. You know, sometimes supervision is not a conviction. And we all know, we've been to traffic court when the judge sit up there and he said, "Well, or the city corporation council say, if you plead guilty, we'll give you supervision. It won't go on your record."
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, "Okay." And then the city would make money that way. You know,
all
former aldermen.
You're right.
All the shenanigans they pull to get money into the city coffers.
Exactly.
So everybody says, "Okay, yeah, I'll take the supervision." So anytime you're offered supervision, folks, you might want to take it, because that is not a conviction.
Supervision, isn't that? We are pleased to have Attorney Ernesto Borges here. Of course, he's American Heroes Group panelist, as you well know. But we're talking about what he does with his bankruptcy firm, which is the largest in the city, and we're so glad that he does.
No, black-owned.
The largest black-owned in the city, and does some great work for a lot of people. And if you have a question or a comment, this is a good time. He'll be glad to accommodate you. 773-591-1690. He'll talk to you even when you've talked to other people first.
Hired other people. In general, I'm not allowed to give them advice. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'm going to a conference. The city has a new program regarding all these tickets and so forth, like a Fresh Start program. So that's going to be downtown, and I will be attending that, so I'll be able to bring back some news to people mm-hmm. about that, so that you don't necessarily have to file a bankruptcy if it's regarding your car. And you get on this boot list because you get X number of tickets, and then your car goes on a boot list, you know, seizure. And then once it's seized, if you come see me when your car has been booted, I can get it off right away. Once your car has been towed and put in the pound, it becomes more expensive for you.
Mm-hmm.
What the city did, and the Corporation Council is this guy Siskel, Gene Siskel's nephew, hired a bankruptcy attorney to work for the city. And then he got some of the judges to agree, once the car has been impounded, what's called a possessory interest attaches to the car, and now you can't get it out by simply filing a Chapter 13. You've got to give the city some upfront money. We're challenging that in the upper courts to say, look, once you file a 13, they should release the car, period. Mm-hmm. But there's a process for doing that. But if you find yourself on the boot list, or your license is suspended, and they will suspend your license for X number of tickets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the Secretary of State. So then you could be in a position where you're on the boot list, your license is suspended, and you're looking, and maybe you're behind in your car payments also. So the finance company is looking to repossess your car, and it's just a holy mess. And, you know, we can certainly help you immediately if you come in.
That's great, because yeah. you certainly need to do that, and you've helped a whole lot of people in the process.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that is on my screen, but I'm going to see. Hello? I thought we had. Yeah, hello? Hey,
hello, this is Rich.
Rich, okay, Rich, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Right, go right ahead.
I was listening to the counselor describe how circumstances led him to become a bankruptcy attorney.
That's right.
And I'm about to give the counselor another line of work here.
What's that?
I would like to for you to perhaps see how the organization can get involved in becoming registered with the Securities Exchange Commission.
How to get registered with the,
SEC? How to get registered.
I don't have any knowledge of that, but, I mean, we can look it up. I have people who know.
Like I said, I'm giving you another line of work.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate it.
I'm going to be listening, okay?
All right.
And because I think that if we become familiar with how to become registered on the Securities Exchange Commission and therefore be eligible to be listed on the stock market, we will be fulfilling the dream of Booker T. Washington.
Okay, Rich. I'm sure the counselor will work on that.
Look into it. You give me a call.
All right. Thank you so much.
Certainly, I talk to all of my clients and and from top to bottom. I mean, we whether you're wealthy or whether you're penniless, and I talk to her. People say, "I'm actually talking to you." And I say, "Yeah, you're talking to me."
I know you do that. Yeah. Let's go to Diane. Yeah. Diane, you're on WVON 1690.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
I have a question about school loan.
Uh-huh.
I have defaulted on my school loan, and a credit agency called me and they say I can rehabilitate the loan. But they bought the loan, the school loan, from the Department of Education. So therefore, it's not a school loan now. It belongs to the credit agency. Can I file bankruptcy because it doesn't belong to it? They said rehabilitation and they want me to sign a bunch of papers. So if it doesn't belong to the Department of Education and it belongs to the Credit Bureau.
I understand.
Can I file bankruptcy?
Let me explain that a little bit. You know, sometimes the original lender is some governmental agency or body or what have you, and they might give it to someone else to service or to collect, or they might even sell it to another, to some debt buyer or whatever. But if it originated as a school loan, they still have the same rights as the original creditor. So you're not going to be able to discharge it just because it's been assigned to another creditor. Now, one of the things you have to, that can be, and which was recently decided by the Supreme Court, if the student loan was a loan for tuition, let's say that you went to DeVry or something, and DeVry said, "Okay, we're gonna give you tuition free for 4 years, or we're going to pay for this and loan you the money." Well, if DeVry gave you like a tuition or some other school, you could discharge that. But if you got a loan for student purposes to pay the institution that you're attending, then that's not a dischargeable debt unless you can prove that it's an undue hardship to you, that you've made some honest efforts to pay it, and that your station in life is not likely to change. I had a lady who was she worked at a little greasy spoon, and she had three kids, and they were all had some kind of problem, autism or retardation or what have you, and lived with her mother. And she came to me, and I was able to discharge her debt because she was in such a dire situation. So it is dischargeable in a Chapter 7, but you have to prove. What's called the Brunel test. You have to meet all the elements of that test, so we can do it.
Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
All right. Diane.
So
I want to thank you so much for being here.
Okay. Great. Are we
now? We have, of course.
I think she's our
executive producer.
I think we got 3 minutes.
Do we have three minutes?
Yeah, I think. So, anyway, call us. You know, at Bill Busters, I created that name because I was telling people to call Ernesto Borges, and they said, I can't spell that, or it was kind of foreign 20 years ago. More people know how to spell my name or no. Mm-hmm. But so I created Bill Busters. So just Google us at BillBusters.com, or Bill Busters, and BillBusters.com is the how to locate us and get the telephone number. But just in case you want the phone number, I will give you the phone number, mm-hmm. which is 312-853-0200. That's 312-853-0200. And just to say that we have 7 offices, so you don't have to go far. We got downtown. We got offices all the way from South Holland on the south to Schaumburg on the north, great. West all the way to Berwyn and Sony Island, 107th and Western, North Cicero, all over the place. So just call us.
Thank you, Counselor. All right.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah. Regarding any issues or concerns about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We're so grateful to our partner, Ms. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Reader's articles, Veterans, Armed Forces, and their Family Members, online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the governor of talk radio, Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group titled Voices, call Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com to request a subscription. As always, we appreciate you all. Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you so very much for listening to America's Heroes Group.
And thank you to our technical producer, Tierra Randall.
Okay.